let yourself become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work. Just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Work hard, like a farmer who gets paid well if he raises a large crop. Think over these illustrations, and may the Lord help you to understand how they apply to you. Don't ever forget the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ was a man born into King David's family, and that he was God, as shown by the fact that he rose again from the dead. It's because I have preached these great truths that I am in trouble here and have been put in jail like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained, even though I am. I am more than willing to suffer if that will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. I am comforted by this truth, that when we suffer and die for Christ, it only means that we will begin living with him in heaven. And if we think that our present service for him is hard, just remember that someday we are going to sit with him and rule with him. But if we give up when we suffer and turn against Christ, then he must turn against us. Even when we are too weak to have any faith left, he remains faithful to us and will help us, for he cannot disown us who are part of himself, and he will always carry out his promises to us. Amen. Well, this morning we're having a little break from Romans and jumping on to 2 Timothy. Some of you may remember that I spoke on 2 Timothy chapter 1 in July, and the title that I gave you then was Living in Freedom. Well, today I have titled what I want to share with you, Living in Power. Before I really get into that, though, I will take a little bit of time to give you some background to the verses we have read together. The two books of Timothy are actually personal letters which Paul wrote while he was imprisoned in Rome by the Emperor Nero. The letter would probably have been written around AD 66 or 67, and it would have been read to the Christians in Ephesus. This is now the second time that Paul has been imprisoned in Rome, and he is very aware that his life and his ministry are now coming to an end. In these two letters of Timothy, he writes to his young friend and protege, passing on as much of his experience and advice as he can before his eventual execution. So, Bill, where do you get the title of Living in Power from a letter written from prison by someone soon to die for his faith? A good question. And like so many blessings, power is found in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The dictionary defines the word power in its form as a noun to be the ability to do or to act. And the dictionary defines the word grace as a gift given without merit or without being earned. In terms of its biblical meaning, grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration and sanctification. In simpler terms, the grace of Christ Jesus is given to us so that we may, as disciples, act in ways which will transform our living, and by continuing to act as Christ's disciples, make us more like Jesus. The grace of Christ Jesus is given freely, and it's given in abundance to every human being who confesses their sin and turns away from the sin in their lives. If you are someone who thinks that they are powerless in today's society, then this this message is for you. And another letter that Paul wrote will help us as we do that. This one to the Christians in Philippi. Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And how does Paul explain where he gets the strength or the power to live that way? Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4 says, I can do all these things through Christ who gives me strength. Or another word for strength here would be power. Remember, our definition of power is to have the ability to do or to act. God's unmerited grace is given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, reconciling us to God. Remember Graham's sermon from last week? When Jesus left to return to heaven, he left his disciples the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given by Jesus to everyone who calls on his name for salvation, not just to the disciples present that day. Well, Bill, I hear what you say, but how about being a bit more specific, a bit more practical even? All right, let's return to our scripture reading. The first 13 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. In the first three verses, Paul encourages Timothy to be strong, to take his share of suffering for the gospel. I think we all know something of suffering in our lives, either to a greater or lesser extent. Paul's suffering was physical through the many beatings and even stoning he experienced in his missions. He suffered the mental torment of being imprisoned in many different places. Paul's suffering is well documented. When Timothy, and now us, read this letter, we can see that he is preparing his protege and us for the same kind of suffering. So what practical advice does Paul give? In verse 1, Paul says, find strength or power by relying on the strength that Christ Jesus gives us. God's Holy Spirit is given to live within us, to give us the power to be strong in suffering. Paul encourages us in his words to Timothy to embrace God's grace. I believe that embracing anything or anybody is to pull that person or thing in close. It's more than a spiritual hug. It's closeness which supports, shares the strength that God has and gives us as we need it at times of suffering. Have you felt the mental and emotional suffering that comes from knowing that something is wrong but not knowing what it is? As human beings, we need to know what the problem is, don't we? Give it a name, and once we have a name, then we feel that we can deal with it. Once we have that name, we can draw strength from identifying the problem and then embrace what needs to be done about it. In our spiritual lives, we need to embrace God's grace, drawing from God's power to help us endure hardship. I believe that Satan's grip is getting steadily stronger on our society. And we as Christians need to be aware of the battle that is being waged around us. Paul goes on in his letter to encourage Timothy to be like a soldier, ready to withstand or endure the suffering that comes in any battle. We are called, like Paul and Timothy, to continue the mission. Our mission is found in Matthew 18. As it is our church statement of mission, go into all the world and make disciples. Paul then goes on to encourage Timothy to be steadfast in God's service. If we want to serve God in the battle against creeping materialism, governmental control, and media pressure, then we first of all need to commit ourselves fully to God's call on our lives. That commitment requires us to focus on the goal and live our lives without getting entangled in the ways of the world. Paul gives Timothy and us another two examples to help our understanding. The next example is that of an athlete, someone who knows the rules of his or her sport and understands that breaking those rules have consequences, which may include disqualification, where the prize is lost. Third example is that of a farmer who works hard so that when harvest comes, he has a large crop which pays him well. These examples all talk of diligence in working towards God's goal of seeing the world reconciled to himself. The word diligence is defined as a virtue, being steadfast in both spiritual and practical matters. Let's read again verses 4 through to 7. And as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Work hard, like a farmer who gets paid well if he raises a large crop. Think over these three illustrations, and may the Lord help you to understand how they apply to you. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you through these verses? Is there an area or areas of our lives where we need the power of God's grace to help us be steadfast in service to God's kingdom here on earth? As someone who's been active in church life for quite a number of years, I can say that there have been times when I've thought, I want to give this up. But each time, I've been persuaded by the Holy Spirit to keep going. Let me summarize what I think Paul is saying to us before I go on to the final few verses in this part of 2 Timothy 2. First, in verses 1 to 3, Paul says, to have power in suffering, we need to both embrace God's grace and also endure hardship. Secondly, to have the power needed to be steadfast in service, we need to be committed to the goal, being focused and diligent as we serve God. In verses 8 through to 13, we have Paul's reminder that our security is our salvation. Let's read those verses again, just to remind us. From verse 8, where it says, don't ever forget the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ was a man born into King David's family, and that he was God, as shown by the fact that he rose again from the dead. It is because I have preached these great truths that I am in trouble here and have been put in jail like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained, even though I am. I am more than willing to suffer if that will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. I am comforted by this truth, that when we suffer and die for Christ, it only means that we will begin living with him in heaven. And if we think that our present service for him is hard, just remember that someday we are going to sit with him and rule with him. But if we give up when we suffer and turn against Christ, then he must turn against us. Even when we are too weak to have any faith left, he remains faithful to us and will help us, for he cannot disown us who are part of himself. And he will always carry out his promises to us. Paul reminds us that there is power in remembering Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Here is the grace of God that he sent Jesus to die for us and then raised Jesus to eternal life again. living today where God is. This is every Christian's security. And from it, Paul reminds Timothy, we can draw from God's power in suffering, helping us remain steadfast in serving him. Verse 12 is both reassurance and also challenge. If we endure in the name of Jesus and through the power of his grace, then we will reign with him in glory. Does that mean if we can't endure, then we lose everything? No. That is the power of grace, because even though we may fail, God is faithful in his love and in his mercy. He is available to us for forgiveness of our failures. And through the Holy Spirit's guidance, he gives us his power to regain the path. John Bunyan's famous book, The Pilgrim's Progress, is a great encouragement. I've read it several times. It's a great read, and it's also great reassurance and very applicable to our lives. Finally, and maybe I'll see you've got it up. Thank you. Finally, and just in case I've sent you off to sleep with my thoughts this morning, here is a summary of Paul's advice. Through his letters to Timothy and us, living in the power of God's grace provides the power to help us when suffering comes by embracing his grace, drawing it closer to us, helping us to endure hardship for his name's sake. Living in the power of God's grace will help us to be steadfast in our service in a world which is becoming ever more hostile to the words of Jesus and to Jesus' mission, which is to make disciples of all nations. We need to commit to God's call, and we need to be diligent in how we live our lives as a witness to what God has done for us through Jesus' death and resurrection. How did Paul do these things? He did them by placing his security in his salvation. In every trial, he tells us to remember Jesus Christ, how he was killed, but rose again to glory at God's right hand, promising eternal life to those he has called. Paul reminds Timothy and us that even though we are unable to be faithful and let ourselves and Jesus down through our failures, God is always faithful because that is who he is. This week, I hope you experience the peace and the power of God's grace. Amen.